We went on to the f a ferry. I think it was at Portsmouth we landed from the Isle of Wight. From then on, there was a train, a special train waiting for us. Off we went, and I think it was in Waterloo Station. And from there were covered army lorries where we got into. The lorries made a way, and then we went into, it looked like a bomb site with barbed wire enclosure, and we were forbidden to go near the barbed wire. I think it was probably because some of us might have passed messages through to families or whatever. We had a meal, we went back aboard the lorries, and then off we went again. And I believe we went to Tilbury, where there was a ship called the City, a merchant ship called the City of Canterbury. We went aboard the City of Canterbury, and on the 2nd of June, and we were on the City of Canterbury until the 7th of June, the day after the landing. I suppose the reason being that the infantry or the troops had to go ashore and move the enemy back so that we could go along to Arromanches and start working on the harbour. Because we were waiting for the roadways to come in. Meanwhile, there was other operations going on. There were ships scuttled to make breakwaters. There were the pier heads that came in, which were there for the merchant ships to come in and unload. And the pier head itself was always 9 to 12 inches above the water. So when the tide went in and out, so the pier head was lifted up and down, so it was always a little way above the water.
It must have been a major feat of engineering, this
Oh,
whole
it
operation.
was. And it was a captain. I forget what his name was, but he's a man who designed most of this stuff, particularly the way the way the roadways, as we call them, could go one way and another. They could go backward and forward according to the sea. The point was, it had never been put together. It was sort of guesswork. The Mulberry Harbour was the size of Dover Harbour. Dover Harbour was built in 7 years, and we were supposed to put it together in 3 weeks. The roadways themselves, I was told it was 3/4 of a mile out to the block ships. Some of these spans were, like a matchbox. You open a matchbox and close it. Well, some of the spans were made like that, one inside the other, to allow for the tides. Because if you had a static span attached to the pier head, well, there's no telling what would have happened. So this span, it had a 9-foot clearance inside, so it would work backward and forward like that.
You said that the German forces had been
Yeah.
cleared from the area,
Yeah.
but what about the German Air Force or anything else? Was any of that threatening you?
Just a little. We didn't have too much problem with the planes, so. And their batteries, they were finished. No, it was quite normal working, as I see it. Mind you, I was only 21 at the time, so it, to me, it was just an experience.
Looking back on it now, do you think, gosh, it was a major achievement?
I think so. The story was that it was Mr. Churchill himself who decided, after the problem when the Canadians landed at Le Havre, I think it was, and they were wiped out, that they would never be able to take a fixed harbour, a permanent harbour. So Mr. Churchill told the powers that be that we must have a floating harbour. It must be able to float. It must be erected in France, and I'll leave you to it. And that's what happened.
Right, you've now got the Legion d'Honneur. You're
Yeah.
a chevalier, a knight. Do we
I
have to call you sir?
don't know what it is in French. I feel like one of the Three Musketeers.